Well, these guys, I mean, it's every time. You know, you get the big name athlete to do a radio tour, and
Tyler was the guy.
Of course, it was Tyler.
Let me handle this, Terrell.
He gets on the phone and just starts spewing a bunch of stuff no one wants to hear. But you know, you get this big name athlete does his radio tour. You give him these talking points. They just want to get paid. They don't care. It's easy money for them,
right?
And it's not a big deal if the thing doesn't sell to them. So they have no idea what the hell they're doing. They're answering sports questions, and when they have an opportunity to talk about the product, that's what you get. You get the whole, well, you have it, and it's a blue, and it's great, man. It's new. It's technology.
Study the product before you do that.
It's technology. All right, before we get into the college football, the show has to stop for this man who's on the phone because he does not call that frequently. And when he does, we need to hear him. That's the way it goes. He's a man that needs to be heard. And that's the great Kevin in Youngstown on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin, what is happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
There he is. What's up, man?
Yeah, can you dig it?
I know you guys want to talk college football, but I agree with you, and I hope you're right. I want the Indians to lose.
Why?
Because when you go for those individual streaks, like I really don't say their name around here, but Golden State Warriors, Seattle Mariners, the season go wrong after that. So let them lose.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bad point if you're going to go to those two examples.
Well, that's kind of like the example when you have an NFL team that are undefeated and they should lose one. That'll help them go into the playoffs.
It's a little different here, I think. Because the NFL is so few games, right?
You know? And the focus goes the wrong way. But other than that, life's great here in Cleveland. The Indians are hot. The Browns stumbled up and found the quarterback. And my ex-wife lives in Florida. So
jeez. I mean, that's just...
Oh, yeah? What's her name?
We don't say that to ground anybody either, but
Oh, Kevin, you're the best, man. All right? Call us again soon,
man,
will you?
Thanks for taking my call. Well,
of course.
We're always crazy?
Take your call, man. You're gonna, those pipes?
You're
gonna jump to the front every time, Kevin in Youngstown. I mean, you want to bring up those two examples, sure. I mean, it makes sense in relative nature to those, but yeah, I don't love the argument of you want to see them lose. I mean, I guess if you think about probability, though, I mean, as long as they'll lose at some point. They're not going to go through the playoffs undefeated. I mean, at some point, they're going to lose it. You'll be able to get that.
I don't know. You think Buck Farmer can do it today? I don't know. I'm not so sure.
It's not think. I know.
Buck Farmer's going to mow them down.
Watch Buck Farmer.
That sounds like a porn name. You're that Ted Cruz? Buck Farmer.
Wait, what was the story you just telling me about someone was looking up an athlete and all of a sudden they found
Austin Wolf. Yes. I think he plays for Akron trying to find out what his injury was and spelled Wolf wrong and wrong thing came up.
You got somebody else, didn't you?
Got a Wolf. Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That just happened.
Well, that's what you get. Yeah. For
if you have it, then you have it.
Naturally.
That's what Josh McCown was warning against. You get on the internets and you get to typing in stuff and you're like, whoa, how did I get here?
Yeah, what is this?
Yes.
Who am I?
Who is this Wolf?
Am I a terrible person?
Yeah.
For looking at all
Not
this.
Your fault.
Yeah.
Now, if you stay there too long, it's your fault.
I guess so. Yeah. It's all about the in and the out, right? Yeah. I'm not supposed to be here. Turn around, close the door.
No pun intended, though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. A lot of panic happening in college football right now. It always happens at the beginning of a season. Everybody's got high hopes. If you're a top 25 team, especially if you're a top 10 or top 15 team, and you think you're never going to lose. You know, you look at the schedule, you look at a couple games, we could lose there, but we're going to go undefeated. So when these teams do lose early on, then it's a crushing blow. And generally, it works out that way. I mean, you don't. There's a couple of teams that have that one loss and then go on great runs and get into the playoff. Fine. There's a couple of teams with two losses with a ridiculous schedule that get consideration by the college football playoff. But generally, it's not something that's going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, there's panic. There's real panic. And there's sometimes overhyped panic.
There's an overreaction. I mean, we discussed Notre Dame yesterday. And, yes, you can be upset with Brian Kelly and the tack he took with the reporter. And I'm wondering if there's a history there. Yes, he was frustrated. And you look at their track record, the last 10 games versus ranked opponents of 1-9, and you compare his track record with past coaches there, and he's won about 28% of the games versus top five opponents, and I think it's right at 40-something percent versus top 25 opponent. So, yes, it's meager as you look at today. But I think this is a better team than he had last year. Georgia didn't put 50 on them like Longhorns did last year. And that was a mirage. Neither team was any good. So I think you got something you can believe in. And I think they beat Boston College. We played last night on Inside College Football. Aaron Taylor back in 93 was on the Notre Dame team that beat Florida State and all those great players they had like Derek Brooks. And next week they lose to Boston College. Huge upset. I don't think that happens here. I think this is a different football team. You look at their defense. I liked how they played. They got punched in the mouth the first run. We went for about 25, 30 yards for Georgia, and they punched back. Now, offensively, I question why you're trying to go sideways when you should be going north and south against a speedy, fast Georgia defense. And so, you know, your strategy there, that kind of mind-boggling. And also, who else is going to step up? They took Equanimeous St. Brown out of this ball game. He had one reception. So someone else has to step up, whether it's Chris Fink, you know, your tight end. Someone else has to emerge as a playmaker on that offense, and that hasn't happened yet. So hopefully they get that straightened out. But I like this Notre Dame team. I think they got a defense that can fly around. They played hard, and they only lost by 1 point. And Godwin, who caught the incredible touchdown, it was an incredible catch. He had to go up and make a hell of a play, and I don't know the name for him, but why aren't we making that play? Yes, someone has to start making those plays for you, but look at the catch the dude had to make to beat you. I mean, it was so acrobatic.
At the very best, I think Notre Dame goes 9-3. I think
they take it.
I think at the very best, I think that they're going to lose to USC.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to lose 2 out of 3 out of these three road games, at Michigan State, at Miami, at Stanford. They're going to lose 2 out of those 3. So, and that's the very best. Now, it could go completely off the rails. We've seen that. I don't expect it to. But you think that 9-3, Notre Dame fans will be happy with 9-3 and
better
Brian,
than 4-8.
Well, no, you know what?
They better take it.
Yeah.
And you've got a young quarterback, first-time starter quarterback. I shouldn't say young, but a first-time starter. So, yeah. They should take 9-3 and didn't get to a bowl game. A lot of people have them going 6-6. We did our preview show. Gary Daniels said, I think they go 6-6. I take 9-3. I think this is a different football team.
And Ohio State doesn't play anybody for a long time. Now, I don't know what Maryland's going to be by October 7th, but, you know, after the first two games, you know, in Indiana, they are what they are. Of course, Oklahoma and the loss that they had. Now they've got Army, UNLV, at Rutgers, and then home to Maryland. Now, Maryland with an impressive start,
yep.
but I don't know what they're going to be. And then at Nebraska, and then you've got Penn State at home on the 28th. But, I mean, that's a team that we're not going to talk about them for a month, because unless something goes horribly wrong.
Right.
But this is what happens with teams. It's like all of a sudden, oh, I guess Ohio State's won by 1,000 the last couple of weeks. And now, you know, that's one thing about the college football scheduling that is just tough for me. Is that when you schedule one of these big games early, I mean, there's always inevitably this lull in the schedule where, like, a team is just non-existent in the national landscape for, like, a month. And that's what Ohio State's going to be.
Unless, well, I would say in the East, you got some competition. Right now it's the 3Ms, Michigan State, Michigan, Maryland, and Penn State. They're all 2-0, and Ohio State, of course, is 1-1. And so they got some big games that will emerge. But right now, for the next couple weeks, you're correct. You look at the SEC West, it seems like each and every week there's a huge ball game.
Well,
so, yeah, they've got a Mercer sprinkled in there.
Which is Auburn's got this week. They've got Mercer.
Which they need after that beating their offensive line took. That was embarrassing, giving up 11 sacks to Clemson. And by the way, Kent State didn't give up any sacks to Clemson. So that's even more hurtful if you're an Auburn Tiger. But I think Auburn still has a championship caliber defense. As I said yesterday, I feel the same way about Auburn's D as I do Florida State's D, and they lost their first ball game, of course, to Alabama. So get that offense straight, get some better protection. I think Auburn's right back in this thing, but that West is going to be, as it always is, very tough. You got Mississippi State and LSU going at it this week, and Ole Miss sitting there undefeated, and Shea Patterson setting all types of records as the starting quarterback there. They've got a tough one on the road versus Cal. So, long season to play out, but the overreaction now at Ohio State is, should the backup quarterback this Haskin kid, should he be the starting quarterback?
Well, you're not going to know, but that's the problem with the way their schedule lays out is how the hell are you going to even know?
Well, everyone's blaming everything on JT Barrett. And it's obvious JT Barrett is not comfortable in this offense. Well, he's looked like he's not comfortable. He's been timid. And you saw that again versus Oklahoma's defense. I would like to give Oklahoma's defense a lot of the credit for making him look timid. They were the only question mark coming into this ballgame. We knew Baker Mayfield could do what he did, and you knew Ohio State had a hell of a defense, and they had a pretty good running game with this freshman now, Dobbins, and Mike Weber, who was back in the fold. But the Oklahoma defense, that was still a question mark, and they showed up and showed out. So I give them a lot of credit. But that being said, JT Barrett ended last year, didn't look great. This offense, go back to what he was doing when he was a Heisman favorite.
Right. I mean,
what's so hard about that?
It doesn't seem that hard. But if he does struggle in this stretch here, Army, UNLV, Rutgers, if you see him.
Didn't Rutgers just. Who beat Rutgers? Somebody that shouldn't have beaten Rutgers. Rutgers.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
Rutgers is so far off my radar.
Well, it was Connecticut State or something.
They had Prop Central Connecticut State. Could have been them. Could have been Southern Connecticut State.
Pick one, right?
It was Eastern Michigan.
Eastern Michigan.
Yeah.
Rutgers, come on. You look like you turned a corner versus Washington, and then you lose to Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, at home.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come on, man.
The great High Point Solution Stadium in Piscataway.
Yeah.
The great. I mean, that stretch that they had last year with those losses to Michigan, Ohio State, I mean, that and Penn State, I mean, that was some of the greatest stuff I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about not belonging. You feel bad for Chris Ash. And
no, you don't. He took the gig.
No, I do.
Why?
Because he's going to get fired and he's a good coach.
I'll give him two more years.
And he can't win there. Can't win there.
Shiano won there, man. You can win there.
But Shiano won there in the Big East.
Oh, that's true.
You're not going to win now.
It was 58-0 and 78-0 back-to-back.
Yeah. Come on, they'll be all right. Look at Maryland.
Oh, stop.
Look at Maryland, man, setting all type of records. First time in 54, they scored 63 points. First time ever, they opened a season with 50-plus points.
Okay.
Come on, well, in two games.
You're giving me the outlier in a good conference, for sure. But
Well, the East is going to be a mess in the Big Ten. I mean, all those teams I just mentioned, and Ohio State, everyone thought it was fait accompli. They would win it, and I just don't see that happening. They can come back. They got a hell of a defense. Secondary was challenged versus Baker Mayfield because he can extend plays. Who else can do that? You know, maybe this Kasim Hill, who's new starting quarterback in Maryland, went 11-for-11, started out the game 11-for-11 in his first start. Maybe he can be the answer and can – put some fear into that secondary. But I like Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley and what they're doing. With James Franklin said, oh, it's just beating Pitt like Akron.
Yeah,
you're right, poking the Pitt fans. So that's going to be fun to watch, see how that materializes. But this overreaction with the quarterback situation, you know, it seems like anytime you talk about these big-time programs, the backup quarterback's always the crowd favorite if the starter's not getting it done. And I just don't put the lion's share of the problems on JT Barrett.
Jim Harbaugh and his Michigan Wolverines are going to be featured in a season-long Amazon Prime documentary, sort of like we see with Hard Knocks, and we've seen Showtime do with Notre Dame and Florida State.
Who do they have this year? Oh, they have Navy.
Yeah, Navy.
Showtime does.
Yeah. Ken Niumatalolo.
Yeah, Ken Niumatalolo.
Yep.
Pretty easy, man.
It is now. I mean, after you get it once, you get it. Harbaugh's one I'd watch. I definitely watch him. You know, I think that because I have a little bit of fatigue with some of these shows, and I think it's because Hard Knocks just follows the same script every single year. Like, I didn't even finish watching Hard Knocks this year, and I didn't do it last year either. I watched the first couple episodes. It's just the same damn thing. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything interesting that happens on Hard Knocks, it shows up on all the sports websites that we look at every morning. So, and then you watch it, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, that's now I saw it. But it's just the same damn story. Now, the Last Chance U, that was a different thing for me because there's just more drama there. Mm-hmm. There's more on the line. But with Harbaugh, he's such a star and he's such a personality that's one I would definitely make carve out some
he's
time
so
to watch.
He's so quirky.
Yeah,
that's the other adjective.
Well, yeah, I mean, but he's got all the makings he's got that gravitas, if you will.
I'll lay down and bleed a while. And then I'll rise to fight again.
Yes, you will rise. Talk about anxiety and heart. You're like, there's nothing in here. There's nothing in here. I don't get excited or nervous. I think he was talking about nerves. It's players having nerves prior to a game. Yeah, he's quirky, man. I guess it'd be interesting to see him in his khakis.
Well, you're not gonna watch anything, so it doesn't matter.
I watch those shows.
You don't watch anything.
Well, I try. I'm studying all the time. I have one day off a week this time of year. I'm studying.
This time of year? You know how much other time of year you have? I mean, what are we talking? 3 months?
Four.
4 months?
Yes.
And the other eight, your excuse is what?
I'm working all the time.
Oh, you are.
And I'm
working all the time.
I'm Jamaican. I got 8 jobs, man.
Yeah, well, no. You show up here, you go to yoga, and you don't watch television. You go after something else.
What?
That's what you do.
That stands for the U.
It's a lot of chasing. That's what you do. All right.
That is so untrue.
No, it's true. It's 100%
true. I'm going to watch Amazon. How do you get there? You have to download like Netflix?
Exactly. Never mind. Just stop.
I haven't even watched the Netflix.
All right.
I have to figure that out first.
What in-studio guest that was just here within the last month who hasn't played in years and years and years is going to come back out of retirement? Think about it. We'll come back and tell you.
You're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Republican Pete's not here.
Oh, where is, him.
I guess he taught his class last night. He's a teacher now.
Oh!
Our board operator now teaches a media class.
Oof.
It's how to stall in your career 101.
Well, thanks, Greg. So it wore him out like the wrestling does? So.
No. Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's late.
No, that apparently was not the reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he won't tell me why. This is prime Pete. On Monday afternoon, as we are traveling back to Long Island, he goes, "Bogish, I'm not in on Wednesday." Okay. Got to take care of a few things. Okay. What? Just a few things.
Okay.
And, you know, he's doing his normal hand gesture.
Such a weirdo.
But it's like, why announce it with the cryptic? Just don't show up Wednesday.
He's probably like the leader or one of the leaders of MS-13. Like, he's got it there. There has to be something going on there.
He's not jumping in new members today, running around beating them up.
He's a mole.
Just cutting logos into arms with switchblades.
The cat you don't suspect, right?
He doesn't tell us what he's doing.
Yeah.
Never.
And you don't see anybody else that looks like him. So, you know, it got to be they recruited the hell out of him. No one will ever suspect.
It's Pete.
Hey, what?
That's not the greatest image ever. How much money do you think it would take for us to dress Pete up like the It clown?
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. He's from Area 51, so this.
How much do you think it would take? We'd put the wig on.
Oh, let's do it.
I think he's actually the clown.
I got 5 on it.
Do you think we could do that?
Let's do it.
No. Because he would never, ever, ever, ever agree to it. You'd have to drug him.
It's always a price, especially with that guy.
I mean, yeah. He can buy a new parachute.
I'd have to chloroform him, like from behind, put the white towel over his face.
He can buy a new windbreaker.
Didn't he, like, rip you off for $50 or something? Like, isn't he, like, sneaky?
There's an Uber receipt.
Sneaky as hell, man. He steals food from that place where you weigh the trays for the food. He ripped off Bogus, saying he took an Uber.
Allegedly.
Speaking of food, you guys will love this. So, because, you know, I abhor wasting food, right? Mm. So they film all these shows, Harry's show and these other shows over at CBS Broadcast Center. So they have this lady that comes and cooks. They have this movable stove, and sometimes it's in the hallway. And you just, yesterday, I know you'll love it now, they had Gladys Knight. Remember Gladys Knight and the Pips?
That's right,
I thought the Pips were women. Mm-hmm. So she has a restaurant down in Atlanta and famous for sweet potato pie and all that. I think they sell it at Walmart or something. It's huge. Anyway, so she was on the show cooking. So they had all this food. They were just wasting pork chops and stuff and rice. And they were just leaving it out there. I said, man, bag it up and I'm going to take it home with me. So that's exactly what I did. Why would they waste all that food?
Wait, how much food did you take?
Oh, I took about 5 pork chops. At least 5, yeah. Last
what's
rest
that?
Of the week.
You could take the hood out of the guy, or what's that phrase?
You can take him out of the ghetto. You can't take the ghetto out of there.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you would just leave that food there wasting away.
No, I'd take it too.
Right.
Of course I would. I'm not saying that I'd be any different. I'm saying you can apply that to anybody.
Give me a Ziploc bag and I'll take it. You can't waste food like that.
Wrap it up in some newspaper.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm going to wear that out today.
Put it inside like your shirt, like create like a little thing in your shirt. You don't
my
care.
Papoose?
About, yeah, your little, you don't care about the barbecue sauce on it. You
like just, Dan Aykroyd trading places with me, Santa Claus. Pull a little hair off the salmon.
Stuffing spare ribs in your back pocket.
Man, they do that all the time. No, I'm taking this food today. Your kids, stop wasting food. I mean, just perfectly good pork chops.
And I'm glad that you ate it. Why you like give it to like a shelter.
Right. There's some guy who's been wearing the same shirt since 03, dragging his leg behind him with one Saucony on.
He said Saucony. One Spock built.
You're taking his food.
Well, if I'd seen that person, I would have handed it to them. If they'd been outside the studio at 9 o'clock last night, I would have handed it to them.
Show some respect.
I do, Sergio.
A picture you taking a pork chop out from under your shirt and throwing it at him like a frisbee. Here you go, man. You don't got to say thank you.
If I've seen it, person, yes. No problem. I'm a giver.
Oh, boy.
Sometimes a taker.
Okay. Andrew Bogish has got a sports update.
Quit making fun of Pete, yo.
Oh, yeah, that.
We get
Area 51.
Think of just picture. Use your magic. Picture him running the board as the It Clown.
Let's do it.
Is that not...
You're going to die, clown!
Think about it back there. Firing the rejoin bands with like the big ruffled shirt and the hair and like saying Live Nation here, guys. I mean, come on,
you couldn't last 3 hours. No shot. No shot.
We couldn't last 3 minutes. Let alone 3 hours.
All right.
We got to get him to do
ask
that.
Ask the pros, please.
How much are you willing to pay?
Well, you know, it was funny. There was a guy I worked with in Pittsburgh I really wanted to see in drag because I thought it would be the funniest thing ever because he looked like an old woman. And I actually got that to happen. We did a charity event and for it was breast cancer awareness, mm-hmm. and we all dressed up in drag for that. So if there's some way we could do it where it's like a team thing, he'll probably do it. But we'd have to trick him. We're all going to come in costumes for Halloween, and he shows up at the It Clown, and we're just wearing our normal clothes. I'd put in $100.
Yeah. I would, too.
$100.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
Let's do it.
Bogish in for $100?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, that's $300.
I found the costume online for $170.
Okay, well.
Oh, we can call those people in Topeka that bought all those costumes on my credit card.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, no, they were just online. It was the Payless in Topeka.
How much you in for, Mike?
Whatever it takes. Right, here's $62 off eBay.
That's the attitude. All right, you keep looking.
Yeah, get us a discount,
He'll do
man.
It for $300, that cheap bastard. Yeah, he'll do anything for $300.
Just have to find the right size here.
All right, could probably save some money and get the CBS Sports Network makeup person to do the face for us.
That's
right?
True. I'm sure we could wait till after Halloween too, and then those costumes are just discounted. Right. It doesn't have to be Halloween. We just
let's be cheap.
Yeah, let's. Well, and it's radio, man. There's no budget. Right. We got to think like that. Think like an exec.
He doesn't need the whole costume. He just needs the afro puffs on the side and the makeup.
That's it.
That's enough. I mean, what he wears is
I need the whole costume. Because if you look at the It Clown, he's got that like the ruffles around his neck.
Okay, get that.
I need that.
Get the collar and that windbreaker. That windbreaker is a clown suit.
If you give him enough time, he could probably grow the side hair.
Pete, start allowing your hair to grow.
Have Sampaio shave it again.
She's done with us, man.
Yeah, she's Sarah Sampaio.
We're going to have some more models in here, dude.
He's trying. He does try. He does try. It just doesn't happen anymore. All right, we got to get to this update. So, Bogus, go ahead.
A significant win for the Dodgers last night in San Francisco. They just didn't know how significant.
Jansen on 0-2. Hundley swung on and missed strike three. The losing streak is over. The magic number is down to 8. The Dodger lead over the Nationals 4.5. As the Dodgers beat the Giants tonight 5-3, First win since the first day of September.
You'll notice that Charlie Steiner didn't mention clinching a playoff spot with a 5-3 victory. That's because the Dodgers didn't know they did that. The initial playoff update from MLB headquarters during the afternoon said LA could clinch if the Cubs or Brewers lost, but neither did. So the Dodgers thought they had to wait another day, but sometime last night that computer spit out another scenario, which got them the playoff spot for the fifth straight campaign. The Indians, meanwhile, still haven't lost since August 23rd. 20 straight victories after beating the Tigers 2-0. Cleveland tied the 2002 A's for the longest run in AL history. The Rays and Yankees continuing their series in Queens, not Tampa, because of Hurricane Irma. The home team got this one.
First pitch on its way to Echeverria. Here's a swing and a high fly ball. Deep left field. Gardner going back to the wall. Gone!
It's a Gardy party.
That's Dave Willis and John Sterling on Rays Radio. Denny Echeverria's eighth inning solo shot got Tampa a 2-1 win. The Rays stay four games behind the Twins for the second AL wild card. The Rockies now three games behind the Diamondbacks for the NL wild card lead after their second win in Arizona in as many nights. This one 4-2. Carlos Gonzalez a pair of two-run homers, and the Nats lost to the Braves 8-0, but Washington starter Gio Gonzalez doesn't care. His first out of the night gave him 180 innings pitched this season, which triggered his $12 million option for next season. The Arizona Cardinals re-signing veteran running back Chris Johnson after losing David Johnson to left wrist surgery. They hope to have David healthy by Christmas, and maybe Danica Patrick about to stop doing this. Danica will not drive for Stuart Haas Racing next season because there's no lead sponsor for her car. This might be the end of her NASCAR career.
All right, thanks, Bogish. Quickly, because we have to get to Will Brinson of CBS Sports to talk some NFL because I blew the tease before. Stephon Marbury was that in-studio guest who wants to come back and play in the NBA when his China League season is over in March. He hasn't been in the NBA since 2009.
So he lied to us.
Yep, he did. He sat here and told us that he doesn't want to come back. That's home for him. China, the way he gets treated there, he's got his own Hall of Fame. Why would he come back here? And for some reason, he has changed. Maybe it was because of us and how welcoming we were and how positive we were with Stephon Marbury. He said, some good people here, so maybe I'll do that. So Stephon Marbury, I like the guy. He's not going to have any success with his comeback, but I wish him the best of luck. Will Brinson next.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
What's up, fellas? I like being the opening act for LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Cool.
But you know what's funny is in between this radio spot and your radio spot with LaDainian Tomlinson, I'm interviewing LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Synergy.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
You have any good questions I should ask you? I haven't really.
I was going to ask you to leave some meat on the bone for us.
We're doing it for our podcast, which is just an elaborate way to plug my podcast. But it's the Pick Six podcast with me and Nick Costas, Jason Lockeford, Pete Prisco, three times a week. Great football information, snarky commentary, stories about tailgates that I tell, and other debauchery. So you should check it out on iTunes and subscribe.
Well, tell Pete Prisco I said hello. He loves me. And ask him what the hell happened to his Arizona State Sun Devils last weekend. They got their arses whipped.
Yeah, and Nick,
I will point out, actually, you want to hear a funny Pete story?
Sure, go ahead.
That this is an example of what you might hear on that very podcast. We're at the Combine last year in Indy, and Pete and I are at Elmo's meeting somebody for dinner, and we spot Ray Anderson, who's the former NFL VP of football operations and all that. And he left the NFL to go be the Arizona State athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
Pete walks through to Ray and goes, "Ray, we got to start cheating, man." And Ray's like, he's like, "We got to start paying these players." Ray's like, "What are you doing?"
He's not wrong.
At least don't say it out loud.
Yeah, right.
Come on, man.
Right, just make a silent donation, Pete. It was pretty funny.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So this David Johnson injury isn't good for anybody, and the Arizona Cardinals offense looked terrible on Sunday. Is there any way that this offense can come close to replacing the production that they got from their all-around star running back?
No. I mean, no, they can't. You know, David Johnson is pretty close to irreplaceable, you know, not just because he's a really good player, but also because his skill set and the percentage of touches that he gets and the way that he operates in that offense make him virtually impossible to replace. You know, there's probably one other guy in the NFL, and that's Le'Veon Bell, that I think actually could replace him from a skill set perspective. And that, you know, that's a guy who can run between the tackles, who can also line out wide, you know, catch 60 balls. David Johnson was shooting for 1,000, receiving 1,000 rushing this year. You know, he's explosive, a home run hitter. You know, can grind out yards in the tackles and also, you know, just catch tons of balls. And you just can't replace that. I mean, it's, you know, it just doesn't exist. And I think for the Cardinals, he accounted for like 40% of their offense last year. So they're really going to struggle to replace him. Kerwin Williams is a pretty nice player, looked good in the preseason. I actually remember making a note saying I should draft this guy late in fantasy rounds and then start drinking beer in fantasy drafts.
Then you draft in Kermit instead of Kerwin Williams.
Then I have like Chad Williams on my roster. He's actually a receiver for the Cardinals too. But I think they can. I mean, the good news for Arizona, I guess, is that Seattle's not quite as good as we thought they might be. That offensive line is going to be a problem. Defensively, they're good. The 49ers look like they might be less frisky than I anticipated. And I think the Rams would be pretty good, but we don't really know because they played against the Colts. But you saw what happened. Look, the Cardinals were up, I think, 17-14 or 17-15. Should have been up more. And then David Johnson gets hurt, and the game plan craters. Now, Bruce Arians is a smart dude. He has a wealth of experience coaching up, you know, teams in tough situations. And he'll figure something out, and they won't be, you know, this isn't going to be the bottom of the barrel NFL team, but they're, no, you can't replace what he does.
Offensive line, you mentioned Seattle. Have they gone the wrong way? They've always taken the unconventional route as far as amassing an offensive line. It seems here lately they go get guys who are on the defensive line, make them offensive linemen. They get basketball players, make them offensive linemen. And it seems as though already, first game of the season, Russell Wilson is shell-shocked. I mean, he's panicking back there. He's leaving the pocket when it's clean. I understand why. They're getting back there hitting him early in Austin versus Green Bay. So is Seattle going to be able to overcome this?
I think it's going to be tough. I mean, you know, because there's not – you can't run out to the garden and you know, tap on the tackle tree and hope a couple fall out and, you know, plug them into the roster. You don't have the option to do that. I mean, if you want to get better on the offensive line, you almost have to trade somebody. But where, you know, what are you going to give up, and you know, where are you going to find a tackle who can just jump in mid-season?
Well, they thought Luke Joku could do that, and of course, he did nothing when he was down there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I can't believe the guy that the Jaguars didn't want is not working out for the Seahawks. Remember too, this is sort of an epidemic going around the league. There are a bunch of contenders in the NFL right now who have bad offensive lines between the Texans, Giants, and Seahawks who stand out very prominently. I think this is going to be an issue for Seattle. And it's not just an issue because it's going to get Russell Wilson hurt the way it did last year when Ndamukong Suh stepped on him. It's also an issue because now all of a sudden your offense is kind of one-dimensional and in a way you don't want it to be. You know, if you could run the ball, like if you had a bunch of guys who couldn't pass protect but were physical up front, remember like, you know, they had J.R. Sweezy at guard, who was a defensive tackle out of NC State, you know what I mean? He was at, like, he wasn't some pass-blocking savant, but he was at least a brute in the run game. You know, you could at least run the ball effectively. Now they can't do either. I mean, Russell was their leading rusher. Chris Carson had 6 carries for 39 yards after that. Eddie Lacy went 5 carries for 3 yards and looked washed. It's going to be a problem for them offensively. Their defense is good enough to win games, but it's tough to see them scoring, you know, 21 to 28 points a game.
Gio and Jones with Will Brinson of CBS Sports. Check out the Pick 6 podcast that he does with Pete Prisco, Nick Costos, and others. And I think that I've learned by now not to get ahead of myself with the Minnesota Vikings. That was a tremendous performance, a great night for them. They have the Randy Moss Ring of Honor thing. Sam Bradford plays out of his mind. Why or why not can this Minnesota Vikings team contend for that NFC North against the Green Bay Packers and Lions?
Well, I would say the why is, and we also had Stephon Diggs. We talked to him this on the upcoming episode for that very podcast. But he's one of the reasons why. And Adam Thielen and Kyle Rudolph and Dalvin Cook, who is a special, special player. I love watching Dalvin Cook run. When you watch him turn the corner, and it's just like this in motion, a perfect acceleration that he has when he gets around the corner and starts to try to hit a home run. And he did it on that last run he had where he broke Adrian Peterson's Vikings rookie rushing record for a debut with Adrian Peterson on the sideline. The offense is just going to be a lot better, you know, because of the way that these weapons have developed. And Sam Bradford, you know, he got credit for a pretty good season last year. I don't think he got enough credit for coming over basically the day, you know, the week before the season started in that trade from Philly. And he you know, Pat Shurmur's his guy, and they've got an offense that he appears comfortable with. He was taking some shots and throwing the ball downfield and not caving under pressure and making some big boy throws on Monday night. I think the one thing you have to worry about is that Bradford did kind of, you know, lost in all this is that he did take a lot of shots, and he did it from a New Orleans defense that isn't very good. So you wonder how really improved is that offensive line with Riley Reiff and Mike Rimmers there if New Orleans is constantly getting to Sam Bradford. I think that's one of the big red flags. Defensively, this team is loaded. You know, to me, they're clearly the second best team in that division, and I already kind of regret not having them as a wild card team coming into the year, because I think they'll be good enough to make the playoffs. I do think you see a little bit of a market correction on the offense, though, just because the team they were playing is trash on defense.
Well, you look at Minnesota offensively, they've always been trying to replace a Randy Moss, and that's difficult to do. Of course, he just went into their Ring of Honor, but you had Cordarrelle Patterson, and now he's with the Raiders. You bring in Laquon Treadwell, but it seems as though Stephon Diggs, a guy who was supposed to go to USC, ended up in Maryland, and he looks the part. Looks like he can be that consistent number one wide receiver. You see it the same way?
Yeah, I do. And, I mean, look, he high point balls. He's, you know, posting dudes up in the end zone. I don't know how much credit you give him for that play action pass on the touchdown, the first one he caught. I mean, he ran a great route, but the Saints defender is like basically curled around the corner, you know, staring at Sam Bradford. Bradford's not even trying to fake the ball. Like he's got it in his other hand. He's showing the Saints defender the ball, and he's still fit on the play action fake. But yeah, I mean, Diggs is a great route runner. Physical, can attack the, you know, high points of ball and all that. I think he's the number one. I think Adam Thielen's not that. I mean, this is to me easily the most underrated group of pass catchers in the NFL between Thielen, Diggs, and Kyle Rudolph. I mean, I think those guys, if you gave them different names, people would be like, well, these guys might be one of the five best wide receiver or, you know, pass catching groups in the NFL. But, yeah, I think Diggs qualifies, and I think they all slot out in a nice way. And maybe Treadwell, I bet he doesn't do much this year, but, you know, maybe he comes along in the next year and he can actually put up some numbers, especially in the red zone.
I know the Colts are arguably the worst team in the NFL. I mean, the Jets are definitely that team, but the Colts might end up being worse, especially if Andrew Luck doesn't come back sooner than later. But the Rams were still pretty damn good in that game. What'd you like from them on Sunday?
A lot. You know, look, the Rams defensively, they got all over them, and that was without Aaron Donald. Two pick sixes. Scott Tolzien handed them out like it was Halloween, a month early. I think that, when you look at what Jared Goff did, and again, it's so hard to, you don't want to overreact because the Colts are terrible. And I mean, they really might be worse than the Jets when it's all said and done. But Luck should win them enough games if they don't have the number one pick. You know, I think when you watch what Jared Goff did, I think according to Pro Football Focus, last year he was 4 of 17 on targets, 20-plus yards down the field. And then on Sunday he completed four passes, all four of his passes, down the field, 20-plus yards, including a touchdown. Sean McVay is just going to put him in a better position to succeed. You should have way more opportunities to put up numbers in the passing game. And like, I remember watching, I did a piece on golf, and I went back and watched some Rams tape from last year, and they had a 3rd-and-2 against the Saints where they ran 2 15, like they had wide receivers run 2 15-yard out patterns or comeback patterns. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, you need 2 yards. Why are you making this rookie quarterback throw 15 yards down the field when you don't have any protection for him? And now you see the stuff that they're running for golf with McVay, and it reminds me a lot of what Kirk Cousins was getting in Washington, which is, you know, these first look reads that aren't difficult to diagnose. And that's what you want to do. I mean, that's scheming it up to help your young quarterback, but that's the precise reason you brought McVay in the first place. And I don't think it is a coincidence that as Goff sort of blossomed early, and they're playing two totally different teams, but Goff looks good week 1. Kirk Cousins struggles through the preseason and then struggles real badly against the Eagles in week 1. I mean, to me, it's not a coincidence that, you know, he lost DeSean Jackson, lost Sean McVay, and then, you know, the guy on the other side, Goff, is starting to blossom a little bit.
30 seconds here, Will. Anything positive the 49ers can take from that loss to the Carolina Panthers? I'm going to say no.
I looked at it again yesterday. I thought Carlos Hyde was really good early, and I think the Panthers are a top 5 defense. And I think the 49ers just ran up against a unit that was out to really just snuff. The Panthers wanted to snuff out the 49ers offensively and let Cam Newton ramp things up without being in too much of a I need to throw to win situation. So not really anything that positive, but defensively they got a little bit of pressure on Cam. I think it'll be a little bit better than what that game suggested.
Will Brinson, the anchor of the Pick 6 podcast, brought to you by CBS Sports. Check it out and read his stuff on CBSSports.com. Will, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, guys. Take it easy. Have a good one.
You too. Will Brinson, one of our favorite guests. Tells it like it is, man. Will Brinson. Well, Danny and Tomlinson will join us in studio next hour. Coming right back with some more NFL. Keep right here on Gio and Jones. CBS Sports Radio.